ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
entities, I now advise you to give up your kingly position and the rod by which we punish criminals. Give up attraction to the sense objects and take up the soul of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. Then you will be able to cut the hard knot of illusory energy and cross to the other side of the ocean of nascence. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna compares the material world to a tree of illusion from which one must cut oneself free. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with a weapon of detachment. So doing, one must keep that place from which having once gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead from whom everything has begun, and whom everything is abiding since time immemorial. Bhagavad Gita chapter 15 verses 3 and 4. Om Jnanatirinandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pradamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vajalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayuvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vadaradra Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are seeing that the conversation between Maharaj Ravana and Jharadhar is continuing over here. Even though Jharadhar felt a little insulted, that he felt some dissatisfaction in his mind when Maharaj Ravana asked him to carry his palanquin first of all. And then, you know, when he was carrying the palanquin, he chastised him for not carrying the palanquin properly. So he's such an exalted devotee, but at that time, obviously, Maharaj Ravana had not recognized his position. And he chastised him, like, you know, assuming the title, role of a king. So Jharadhar definitely felt a little insulted, he felt some dissatisfaction or some unrest in his mind that why is Maharaj Ravana treating me like this when actually I'm innocent, I've not done anything. But keeping that dissatisfaction aside, being the great devotee that he is, like, because devotees are very compassionate and merciful, they keep their own insults or their own egos aside, but their greatest service is to just bring everyone closer to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And we saw that multiple times in Srila Prabhupada's example, in his own life example. Like so many times, you know, reporters would challenge him. It was not that every time he would receive adoration and respect from everybody. Many times, like, you know, he would go to a hall, devotees would organize a program, and he would go to a hall and it would be empty. There's hardly anybody who's come up. And devotees would feel very bad after that, that we tried, but maybe he didn't market the program enough, but Prabhupada, there was nobody. But Prabhupada never used to mind that. He used to still lecture with the same, you know, power and potency which he would to a full house. So for us, you know, sometimes if there's no one sitting, especially, you know, during the COVID, strict COVID lockdown earlier this year or last year, it was quite hard to give Bhagavatam classes for speakers because only the recording Prabhuji would be sitting on. Sometimes only one person is listening to the class and he would be attentively listening, but it was hard when you don't have because you don't have anybody to even speak to give the class. You have to just look at the camera, hoping somebody is listening from somewhere. So it's very hard when an audience is not there. But for Srila Prabhupada, it never mattered. He used to tell the devotees, why are you worried that no one came? Didn't you all see? There was Brahma was there, Narada was there, the demigods were there. They had all come to listen to the class. So Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm never used to wane. For him, it was not about personal, adoration or too many people should be there, only then I will give a class, or only then I will teach about Krishna consciousness. For him, it did not matter at all. So that is because your devotees are very, very merciful and compassionate. They just want the best of everybody. And that is what we have seen in Jharkhand's character over here. So even though he felt insulted, he did not take it personally, but he still showed compassion on Maharaj Raghuna, and he sat down and he gave him these, instructions about how he is in the illusion of bodily concept of life and what is the solution for him to come out of this bodily concept of life. So, these are beautiful instructions which have been going on since quite some time in this canto. So, this is the last chapter in this series. It's coming to an end. We are on 28 verses. I think there are 26 verses in this chapter. So the conversation is coming to an end, and that brings us to the end of this pastime where Raghuna is there. Towards the end of this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit will ask more elaboration. He's saying, you explain this analogy to us between the conversation of Jharadrat and Raghuna, where Jharadrat is telling Raghuna about this forest of material illusion. But just elaborate on that a little bit more. So the next chapter is, an elaboration which Maharaj Parikshit is giving on this whole analogy which he gave about the forest of illusion. And then he glorifies Bharat Maharaj towards the end, how the glorious life Bharat Maharaj is. So that is this whole section is coming to an end. Now in today's verse, we are seeing that Jharadrat is opening Maharaj Raghuna's eyes to some harsh realities and truths. So a sadhu's duty, Jharadrat is a devotee, a sadhu, and the sadhu's duty is always to cut. Sadhu means cutting. And what do they cut? They cut the knot of material attachment in the heart of the listener. So, and this is very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada when Vidura comes to save Dhritarashtra. So, in the same court where Vidura was insulted and he was driven away by Dhritarashtra's own son, Duryodhana, saying that, just who is this Sutaputra? Because obviously, Vidura was trying to talk sense into Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra that stop this war, don't go ahead with this war, you should, give the Pandavas their fair share, don't be so mean to the Pandavas. So that time, Duryodhana could not listen to this good counsel of Vidura. He, in fact, is angry. Sometimes people who are very steep in their own, in their own concept of what is right or what is wrong, or too much steep in their own material enjoyment, they cannot agree to good counsel. They get angry with the person who is actually trying to show them something. So he gets angry and he actually insults Vidura and drives him out of the court. He says that just leave with the breath that is there inside you. Do not take anything and go out. So that is how Vidura was saved from participating in the war. He just went on a pilgrimage. He took that opportunity to go on a pilgrimage to attend holy places. But after the war was over, Vidura, he had compassion for his brother. Because Dhritarashtra did not say anything. Blinded that he was in Duryodhana's love, he did not stop Duryodhana from driving his own uncle away. He just kept quiet, like he kept quiet on so many other occasions. So he just kept quiet and allowed Vidura to get insulted by Duryodhana. But Vidura still did not take it personally. Here we see Jharadrat did not take personally the insults of Maharaj Raghuna. He still came back after the war was over. Because Dhritarashtra was, after the war was over also, Dhritarashtra was so attached to Hastinapur, to that throne, that he was not even able to leave and go away. Although all his sons had died by the hands of the same people who are now on the throne. But still he was so attached that he kept staying in the kingdom. And Vidura uses very strong words. He's saying that eating the remnants which are being thrown to you by your son's killers. So Vidura comes to save Dhritarashtra, he talks to Dhritarashtra, he shakes him up out of his reverie that he was nicely sitting and enjoying his old age also being served by the Pandavas. And he tells him that said, detached and leave and go into the forest. And that time Dhritarashtra's, you know, first time in life, Dhritarashtra's eyes opened to this knowledge which Vidura was imparting. And he left his home, he left the palace and he entered into the forest along with Gandhari. So you see, the beauty of a sadhu is always to cut this knot of material attachment. And that is what we see Jharadhara doing over here. In this verse, he is using very strong words, if we see. So he is saying that, he is saying, my dear queen, you are also a victim of the external energy being situated on the path of attraction to material pleasure. So to a, you know, someone who tells the king like that, it requires a lot of courage. That you are situated on, you are victim of material energy, you are just enjoying material pleasures in this world. But Jharadhara is doing that because it's his duty. He thought he should save Maharaj Ravana. But we see that he is doing it very affectionately. It is not that he is, you know, just chastising and there is no affection in his heart or no love in his heart for Maharaj Ravana. And that is evident from the fact that he is addressing him by his name. So the first one is Raghubanathamati. He is addressing by his name, my dear King Raghubana. And generally we see that when someone is addressing someone by their name, it shows you know, some element of affection and love in the heart of that person, for the other person. Otherwise, if someone is just giving general instructions, he will be preaching without giving any, you know, like bringing any personal touch. But Jharadhara is still doing that. He is addressing Maharaj Ravana by his name, which shows that he has still affection for Maharaj Ravana despite being insulted. In fact, Keshava was telling us in our Bhakti Vaibhav class that, you know, we should only correct or chastise someone when we have authority with that person or when they accept your authority. Otherwise, generally we should not correct. So sometimes, you know, we might see something wrong is happening or someone is not doing something correctly, let's say in emotional life. And we can definitely see that that needs to be corrected. But we should never approach that person unless they are, you know, we are in a position of some authority, we will accept that authority. Otherwise, do it to somebody else whose authority we accept. Because obviously, out of compassion, we want that person not to keep doing the wrong things that they are doing. But at the same time, if they are not going to accept our authority, then there is no point. So in this situation, Maharaj Ravana has accepted the authority of Jharadhara. He has made an amply clear, you know, during this chapter and even in the earlier chapter, that I am so sorry I did that, and I am now surrendering to you to instruct me. So he has accepted the authority of Jharadhara, and on that basis, Jharadhara is actually giving these instructions. And another thing which, you know, we hear senior devotees say, is that when we do have to correct someone or we do have to chastise someone, it is very important that we also show love equally to that person after we've done that. Because sometimes we just, you know, show the rod, like there is a name of the rod of punishment. Sometimes, you know, we might tend to go and correct someone. And sometimes, you know, we might have to use some strong words. And after that, if we don't follow it up with some gesture of love and affection, then it can actually, you know, hurt that person whom we are trying to correct. Can become a Vaishnava of her. So it is extremely important that we show lots of love, profuse love and affection to someone whom we need to correct. And we don't just, you know, think, oh, I can correct, this person is not doing properly, and then go away from it. So we see that, you know, from Jharadhara's example, we can learn that from his example, how he is addressing Maharaj Ravana so affectionately by giving him these strong instructions. So he is opening his eyes to some realities of life, and there are different aspects which Jharadhara is touching upon in this conversation. So we go through those few aspects that he is touching on in his instructions to Maharaj Ravana here. So the first aspect he is telling Maharaj Ravana is that you are a victim of Maya and that you are on the path of material pleasure. You are still very attracted to sense enjoyment and sense gratification. So Prabhupada, I was listening to one of Prabhupada's lecture while preparing for this class. And Prabhupada says that obviously these instructions of Jharadhara to Maharaj Ravana are for Ravana as well, but they are for all of us. The whole Bhagavatam is for conditioned souls who are in this material world, suffering the pangs of material misery. So they are applicable to all of us, just as Bhagavad Gita was being spoken to Arjuna, but it was applicable to everybody. So Prabhupada says that this whole material world, everybody is running after sense gratification. That is the principle of this material world. And Prabhupada compares this running of, you know, people after sense gratification to actually running after the mirage in a desert. Prabhupada says sometimes some animals also get misled. Like when they are in the desert, everyone's throat is parched and someone's looking for water. And because of the effect of sun on the sand, you know, people think there's a water body and they run to it, but there's no water there. But then they can see it in the distance. So like that, you know, people are just pursuing this mirage and ultimately they die of this thirst without realizing that there is no water in this desert of material existence. So Srila Prabhupada was using very strong words. He was saying that, you know, ultimately people meet with their end because they are not able to find that satisfaction. So we try to satisfy our senses. We keep trying for sense gratification, but we are actually attempting to do it in this world which is Dukhalaya Mashasura. Krishna has stamped it. It is full of miseries and it is temporary. But still there we are trying to, you know, look for these few drops of sense gratification which actually don't exist at all. So Prabhupada again in that lecture was using quite heavy words while talking about this mirage of sense gratification. He was saying that, you know, we see graha babies and most of the people in this material world are like that. So they have a nice apartment, they have, you know, their mortgage is paid off. So they have a nice apartment, they have a nice beautiful wife, some bank balance is there, children are there, you know, they have two children, three children, whatever. And they are very satisfied with what they have. They do not think that, you know, this is not my world or this is not my all in all, I have to come out of this particular, you know, entrapment that I am in. So Prabhupada says, don't be satisfied just because you have a nice house, nice wife, nice children, some bank balance is there, that is not the end in all. For people. In fact, we see Prahlad Maharaj's instructions in the 7th canto, beautiful instructions when he is talking to Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu twice took Prahlad Maharaj on his lap. The first time he took him on his lap, Prahlad Maharaj spoke some verses which were completely devotional in nature, and then Hiranyakashipu angrily chastised Shandai Maharaj. And he said, go and take this child away and teach him the affairs of politics, you know, economics, go and teach him how to rule a kingdom, how to become a demon king. So they Prahlad Maharaj away and they ask him, where have you learned all this? Because we did not teach you all these things. And Prahlad Maharaj, you know, they realize that obviously he has been born with these devotional qualities. He heard the whole Bhagavatam from Narad Muni while he was in the womb of Kayapur. And then they, you know, Prahlad Maharaj is quiet. They think they have sufficiently taught him for a few weeks. And they again present him nicely. And instead, Gayadu dressed him very nicely and they again present him before his demoniac father. And once again, he takes him on his lap and he asks him, what did you learn? And Prahlad Maharaj starts with the famous verse of, you know, Sharanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So we see Prahlad Maharaj is very, you know, he is not afraid that his father is a demon, he might chastise him or he might even get him killed. He is just saying the truth which exists in his heart. So there, Prahlad Maharaj is giving very beautiful pastimes. Sorry, very beautiful instructions. He is saying, Matirna Krishne Padam Svatova Mitho Vipadeta Graha Vipana Vadanta Govir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Puna Charjita Charjitama. So this is a nice instruction. There are so many beautiful instructions, but this is a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Where he is saying that puna puna charvita charvitanam, that everybody in this material world is a victim, like Jagannath is telling Maharaj Ravana. Everybody is a victim of Maya and everyone is running after sense gratification. But puna puna charvita charvitanam, they are trying, they are simply chewing, you know, re-chewing the tube, trying to get pleasure where it's not existing. Like, you know, when India gives the Prabhupada gives the example, like sugarcane juice is being extracted. So the person puts his once, he gets some nice juice. He puts his second time, he gets some more, you know, little bit juice. And then he keeps putting it again and again, trying to extract those few drops of juice that are existing. So that is what he's saying. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, everyone's trying to chew the tube. Like, you know, now COVID is there, so I don't know if it's still there, but you know these restaurant tampas which we see running on the streets of Bengal, like we see one going towards on that 12-number tank on this street. And you know, whenever I look at that tank, I think, you know, this is just chewing the tube. There are restaurants existing, there are so many nice places, so-called nice places according to these materials to eat. However, you know, that is also not giving them satisfaction. So then now on the moving place, from this experience. So you know, this is, that is what Balaram Maharaj is saying. You know, Puna Puna Charitas Charitana. Everyone is entrapped and everyone is trying to just extract that little water in the desert of material enjoyment. And that is because Jiva has forgotten his real eternal position. Why, like, we know this? Why we are doing this? Why are people trying to do? Because we have forgotten their real eternal position of being part and parcel of Krishna, and they are, you know, what is their dharma? The dharma of the soul is to serve Krishna. They have forgotten that. In fact, in this instructions to Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, saying a beautiful verse. He is saying, Krishna Bhuliya Jiva Bhoga Vancha Kare Pasete Maya Kare Jhapati Adhare. Krishna Bhuliya Jiva Bhoga Vancha Kare. Forgetting Krishna, Jiva is trying to bhoga vancha. He is trying to enjoy sense gratification. He is trying to this bhoga. He is trying to enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But what happens because of that? Maya Jhapati Adhare. When Maya sees, she is that, you know, faithful servant of Lord Krishna who is just standing there to see which people are doing this. And as soon as they see that, as she sees Jiva has forgotten and turned his back towards Krishna, she jhapati adhare, she entraps that Jiva into the, you know, into the three modes of material nature. And we see, you know, in the third canto, when Kapila Dev is instructed, and before that also, there is this whole description of a child in the womb of the mother. And the child actually, when the child is in the womb of the mother in that miserable condition, because obviously the child is cramped inside that little womb, for 9 months he has to stay there, he or she has to stay there. And whatever the mother is eating, drinking, Prabhupada says, you know, not every mother is very careful, they eat spicy food, sour food, whatever they are eating, the child has to suffer the reactions of that food which the mother puts. And you know, in his own stool, because he also starts to move, she passes stool urine. So in that own stool and urine, the child is there in that, you know, womb of the mother. And in that miserable condition, actually the child prays to the Lord, to Paramatma. He says that, please take me out of this miserable condition. I promise you, I just want to serve you. That is what the child continuously prays while he is in the womb. But what happens? Does every child come out as a devotee? We don't see that, because as soon as the child comes out, like Maya Jhapati Adhare, he gets covered by the three modes of the material nature, and he forgets Jiva Bhuliya, he forgets his eternal position, that he was praying like this and he is an eternal servant of Krishna. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is a beautiful verse, it says, Krishna Bhuli Jiva Anadi Bhakti Mukha Atta Eva Maya Kare Diya Sansara Sukha. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external creature from time immemorial, and therefore Maya gives him all kinds of miseries in this world. So Maya is standing, Maya Devi of Durga is standing in the Trishul, and she is inflicting tapatriya. Tapatriya is the threefold miseries on the Jiva. The, you know, Adi Buddha, Adi Bhautik, Adi Adhyatmik, and Adi Devi miseries. Her role is to keep inflicting these miseries on a Jiva who has Bhagi Mukha, who has turned his back to Krishna. So that is the first thing which Jadabharat is opening Maharaj Raghunath's eyes to. He is saying that you are a victim of external energy, and you are, because you are situated on the path of attraction in this material pleasure. And then further Jadabharat is talking to Raghunath, and he is saying the second instruction. So in the first instruction he is opening Maharaj Raghunath's eyes. He is making him recognize or realize the reality of life, that you are a victim of Maya. So in, you know, in the class I was hearing, like, there are three R's. So the first R is recognition, the second R is remorse, and the third R is rectification. So the first thing to do is recognize your fallen condition. The problem with 99% of the population of this world is no one is recognizing their fallen condition. They are not recognizing only that, you know, there is a spiritual world, I am, you know, this is a material world, I am suffering the pangs of material miseries because I have forgotten my relationship with Krishna. Obviously, that recognition itself is not there. So the first step in devotional life is to recognize the fallen condition, and that is what, you know, is the first step Jadabharat is following over here. He is making Maharaj Jadabharat recognize that you are a victim of Maya. You are in fact in this material sense enjoyment. You are in fact in this upadhi of being a king. So he is making him recognize these realities of life. And once you recognize, it's just not enough, oh yeah, 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 I understand that this is solar, I understand this material world is Mukhala and Ashasana. So after recognition, the second stage should be remorse. Remorse is, yes, oh my, because of my own misdoing, for my own karma, I have become entrapped like this. Or because of my own lack of determination, I am not able to surrender to Krishna. And therefore, I need to do something about it. That remorse is there, where, you know, the guilt is there, that it's because of me that I am suffering, and what can I do now to rectify the situation? So that you know, remorse was expressed by Maharaj Raghuna. He expresses to Jarabharata, I'm sorry I treated you like that. I recognize you are a great Mahan. And therefore, you know, you please send me some instructions of what I should do. So he has expressed that remorse. And then he has seen Jarabharata actually offering him rectification. Not only he is opening his eyes to reality, but he is also giving him a solution. That now what should you do to do not be a victim of Maya and to stop this sense gratification. So these 3 hours, you know, as a devotee also, it's very important for us that in any interaction also with others, we keep this in mind. That, you know, recognize if we have made, for example, we have offended a devotee, and then obviously remorse, go and, you know, say sorry, or at least in our heart we are feeling very bad that I shouldn't have offended this devotee like this. And then rectification means actually positive action. Because if you just keep doing remorse, yeah, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have offended. But after that there is no action, then also that remorse is useless. That recognition and remorse is useless. So rectification is when we actually are taking a positive step to then go and serve that devotee in some way, to apologize for sin and serve, render some service, so that offense we have done is negated. So now he is offering a solution to rectify the problem. He is saying the first solution he is offering is give up this kingly position, this rod, and give up this rod of punishment that you use for punishing criminals. Because the king, the duty of a kshatriya is actually to maintain law and order in their state. So therefore the king sometimes has to meet out some harsh punishments to criminals. You know, sometimes some people have to be beaten, some people have to be jailed, some have to be hanged, or if they have done something heinous. So he is saying, give up this title of king. That is the first instruction he is giving to rectify the problem. So Maharaj, Jarabharata is saying that this upadhi of king, that is the first thing you need to give up. And we all are trapped, again, you know, in this cycle of upadhis. So many upadhis we acquire as soon as we come in this world. You know, the first upadhi we acquire is I am the body. That is the first upadhi we acquire. On top of that, we say that, oh, I am a man or I am a woman, I am a child. On top of that, you know, based, our association is based on our place of birth. I am an Indian, I am an Australian, I am a Fijian, I am American. So, you know, so, and then obviously, when we, you know, somebody starts working, especially in corporate life, so much of these upadhis, I am this, I am that, I am a manager, I am an executive, I am EGM, I am vice president, I am president, I am the director, CEO. So many upadhis are there. And we cover ourselves with all these upadhis, and we are just identifying with these upadhis without realizing that actually we have to give up these upadhis. And there are others, this material world is, you know, full of envy. So there are others who are actually waiting enviously and eagerly for to take that upadhi away from someone. So we see as soon as in corporate life also, you know, one manager is there, but somebody is below him. It happened in my office. There was one manager who was just removed last year because of something which, you know, happened. And the person who was actually below him, you know, obviously he was happy because then he got to take up the role very subtly and slowly. He took up the roles, and obviously he was doing well, but he took up that role. So he then took up that upadhi. So everyone is eagerly waiting to get each other's upadhis. That is the reality of this material world. However, we see, you know, sarvopadhi vinimitta. So we see that we have to give up all these upadhis which are there in our in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about this. Because we become free from all these upadhis. That is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because even in spiritual life, you know, upadhis, sometimes we get attached to the upadhis. I am the go-to man for my Guru Maharaj. When he comes, everybody has to take appointment through me. Or I am commander, I am this, I am that, I am book distributor. So sometimes, you know, instead of being attached to the act of service, we become attached to the service itself. And and then we don't want to give up because that Upasi, you know, sticks with us and Pujari and this, that. And therefore, you know, Prabhupada says, be very attached to the act of serving, not to the service itself. Because then we can create, you know, these false Upasis in our mind, even in devotional service. So, Sarvapati Nindi Muktam, Tat Paratvena Nirmanam. And you know, give up these Upasis and be engaged, Rishikesha Rishikesha. So, be engaged in the master of the senses. So that you can become free from these Upasis. So that is what we are seeing again. Sarvapati telling Maharaj Raghuna, give up your kingly position and give up this role of punishment that you have. And we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows that by example that, you know, because kings are attached to their positions normally, he did not want to be an associate with Maharaj Pradhapudra. He was saying that, you know, they are very materialistic people and they want to keep away. So there were so many tricks which devotees were trying because Maharaj Pradhapudra was not the normal king, he was a very devoted king. So many tricks the devotees were trying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely saying, no, I don't want to associate. Because that is because he was showing by example that when somebody has a high position, they become very attached to the position and they like to enjoy the benefits which that position brings. And in terms of the king, they have so much opulence to enjoy. So therefore, you know, give up all these upadhis and engage in Rishikesha Rishikesha. So Sivana Bhakti Rishikesha. Engage in the service of the master of the senses. So that is the second aspect. The next aspect which Bharatanatyam is talking to Maharaj Raghuna, he is saying give up attraction to the sense objects and take up the soul of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. So he is saying that give up this attraction to sense objects, and Srila Prabhupada is elaborating on that particular aspect in this purport. Prabhupada is quoting Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, the Banyanti example, Prabhupada is quoting. So Prabhupada, you know, we know in from chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, we know that there is this imperishable Banyanti, which is actually existing in the spiritual world, but its forward reflection is there in this material world. Where the roots are, because it's a reflection, obviously, the roots are upwards and the branches and everything are below. They are down. It's ulta, the tree is ulta. So Prabhupada is talking about this tree in this purport. And Prabhupada says in the purport of that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that the basic principle of devotional service is obviously detachment from sense gratification and attachment to the devotional service of the Lord. That is the basic principle of devotional service, how to become detached from sense gratification. So since the tree in the material world is a powerful reflection, it's an illusory tree. Srila Prabhupada is saying that cut off this attachment to this illusory tree using the soul of knowledge and become situated in the real tree. That is what Prabhupada is elaborating on in the purport. So cutting off the attachment to sense gratification is extremely hard. We all know we are all struggling. Because anartha-nivritti, you know, like the nine stages of devotional service, the anartha-nivritti stage sometimes takes millions and millions of lifetimes. Because it is so hard for everyone to give up their attachment to this material world. Attachment to the body, attachment to the family, attachment to the place of birth, attachment to so many things. It's extremely hard. And we have been, you know, enjoying our senses for millions of years. So that, you know, has added a coating on the soul. So very hard for us to cut off all these attachments. So we are trapped in this jail. You know, actually this durg or jail, we are trapped inside this. And it's a jail which has no doors. We can actually walk out of this, you know, concept that we are trapped. We have trapped ourselves in any time. There's no doors, there's no windows. We can walk out. There's no lock. It's a jail which has no lock. However, the problem is we have chosen to stay in this jail. And what is keeping us in this jail is the reflecting surface, which is the reflection of the real world, of the reality and the illusory key. That reflecting surface is desires. Prabhupada says that it is our desire for sense gratification which is keeping us in this jail. In fact, we've, you know, mentioned this before as well. There is a beautiful conversation between Janak Maharaj and Ashwakupaka. When Ashwakupaka comes to visit Janak Maharaj, and Janak Maharaj wanted to drive home a point. So Janak Maharaj was in this courtyard and he was hugging the tree. And he was hugging the tree and he was continuing, as if he's wrestling with the tree, he's continuously telling the tree, leave me, leave me, leave me. And Ashwakupaka was very intrigued to see this scene. So Janak Maharaj is one of the Mahajans. So he was very intrigued and he was asking Janak Maharaj, are holding on to, you know, this desire for sense enjoyment, we are not leaving it. Actually, at any point in time, we can leave this desire for, you know, we can go out of this material world. It doesn't have any roots or egos. However, we are holding tight onto this and we are not able to cut off, like Srila Prabhupada is saying, cut off this, you know, tree of illusion and be situated in the reality. So, how do we do this? Prabhupada is explaining, you do it with the sword of sharpened, the sword which has been sharpened by devotional service, the sword of knowledge, which has been sharpened by devotional service. So, if we use a blunt sword, it takes, you know, long time to cut the tree. Obviously, the blunt, the sword is done. And therefore, Prabhupada says, sharpened sword. You know, we see like in India, when you go to these traditional barber shops and all, you see they use a stone to sharpen their blades or knives. And I don't know if that blade still exists, but in my younger days, people like those vendors used to come on a bicycle and to sharpen knives. And they would shout out and my mother would take some knives and they would sharpen. So it was like a rotating stone on which, you know, they would sharpen the knife and blade. So Prabhupada is saying that stone for us is the stone of knowledge and devotional service. So that is how we sharpen the sword. Otherwise, with a blunt sword, we will keep attempting and we will keep doing it for years. We will be still intact in this tree, this illusory tree. So Prabhupada is saying, sharpen the sword with knowledge of devotional service and executing devotional service, and then you will be able to cut this tree very quickly. So these knots, you know, there is a nice verse in the Uddhava Gita when Krishna is instructing, we are studying that, we just finished studying that section in our Bhaktivedanta course, where Krishna is saying, Vidyate Hridaya Granthi Chidyate Sarva Samshayaha. So Vidyate Hridaya Granthi, so this heart knot of material attachment which is there in our heart is because of Sarva Samshaya, because we have doubts. We have doubts and misgivings or anathas. And the first misgiving is that I am the enjoyer. We do not recognize Krishna as the supreme cause of all causes, as, you know, the enjoyer, supreme enjoyer, the bhokta namedya prasam. We do not recognize the position of Krishna. We think we are the enjoyers, and because of that, you know, these samshaya, we are not able to cut this knot of material attachment. That is why Srila Prabhupada is saying that sharpen the sword with devotional service, and you'll be able to cut this knot off. Now there are two types of people who are not able to cut this knot off. The first type of person is the person who is a materialist, very deeply engrossed in sense enjoyment. He actually loves to be in this tree, because in the 15th chapter again Prabhupada explains what do the branches and the leaves and the twigs and all that represent in this tree. And he's deeply absorbed. He's just, you know, nicely going from one branch to the other branch and very nicely enjoying this illusory panyanti, thinking he is enjoying. So because of his deep entrenchment in this illusory panyanti, he has no interest in finding out what is the root of this panyanti. He has no interest of cutting off this panyanti and being situated in his real position, the real panyanti, which is the roots of that panyanti are the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He is not interested in doing that at all. So these are gross materialists who are not interested in cutting down this tree. And the second type of people who are not interested in cutting down this tree are the impersonalists. So the impersonalists are actually very detached. They are fed up. They have recognized that this material world is full of miseries. And, you know, I don't want anything to do with this tree of material enjoyment or this tree of this material world. So they have come to that stage where they are already detached. However, they have become so fed up, and because they do not have this goal of devotional service, their soul is not sharpened because they don't render their devotional service to the Supreme Lord, they are not able to cut off this tree. So they don't want anything to do with any tree. Because they are fed up, they don't want anything to do with the real tree also. So they are detached, but they are not able to go and get themselves attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. They have no interest in finding out. And that is, you know, the second category who are not able to cut off this tree and be situated in the real tree. So gross materialists is hard for them because they are absorbed in this panyanti and enjoying the so-called pleasures of this panyanti, and the impersonalists who are fed up of the panyanti but they are not seeking the real panyanti. So only devotees have that weapon. like, you know, because of Srila Prabhupada has created this moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to propagate about devotional service. Devotees have that weapon of devotional service. They have that weapon by which they can sharpen their intelligence, they can acquire the knowledge, and they can situate themselves at the lotus feet of Krishna. And that weapon, you know, of knowledge, in fact, Krishna says in the 10th canto, Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yena Maam Abhyanthite. So devotees who are engaged in discussing spiritual topics, Tushyan Teacher Ramana Teacher, he further says that also, who are engaged in discussing devotional topics with each other, to them I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So people who are engaged, who render some devotional service, who are engaged in discussing Krishna's pastimes, the Lord Himself gives them the intelligence by which they can then cut off this tree. So the Lord is very eager to help the devotee who then, you know, engages in all these activities. So therefore, it is very important that we sharpen, you know, our knowledge. The, you know, sharpening the soul in knowledge and in devotional service. And therefore, it's, you know, Prabhupada also says and Krishna says that by studying the, how is the intelligence sharpened by which we can actually then cut off the tree. The intelligence is sharpened by studying the shastras or studying the scriptures. That word asanga shastrena is very important in the Bhagavad Gita verse which Prabhupada quotes over here. Asanga shastrena means with, shastra means weapon. So with the weapon of detachment, with the weapon of knowledge and devotional service, one can cut off their attachment to this illusion teaching. And therefore we are very lucky in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. So Prabhupada started, you know, Prabhupada wanted these courses, study courses, scriptural study courses like Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. Prabhupada wanted exams to be conducted. And we are so fortunate in our Melbourne Temple, we have these courses so actively running. It gives a platform, it gives an opportunity to all devotees to come together and in a group discuss these pastimes or discuss these instructions of Lord Krishna with each other. Because by doing this systematic study of the shastras, our intelligence gets sharpened, especially studying in the association of devotees. The intelligence gets sharpened because of which we are then able to have that weapon to cut off this illusory tree. So attachment cannot be eradicated. Hard. We are talking about, you know, getting detached from this world and getting attached to the real reality. So attachment to this, you know, attachment is the nature of the soul and it cannot be eradicated. And because of that, what do devotees do? They transfer that attachment. They transfer that attachment to the Lord and to the Lord's devotees. So, you know, again, beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says this, Prasanna Majaram Pasana, Atmana Kavayogitu. So Prasanna Majaram Pasana, that learned people, learned devotees know that it is hard to give up this attachment to this material world, and therefore what they do is they transfer their attachment to devotees of the Lord, and that opens the road to liberation. So that is what devotees are aware of. So devotees not only try to detach themselves, like impersonalists are also detached from this tree. But devotees take that next step which impersonalists don't take. They actually transfer their attachment to the devotees of the Lord. And because of that, it opens the door for them to be then situated in the reality as a lotus feet of Krishna. So association of devotees, in fact, in Kali Yuga it is said that, we say that the Yuga Dharma is chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahantra. However, the Yuga Dharma of Kali Yuga is actually association of devotees. Because if we have a mantra and we are not associating with devotees, we are trying to do our sadhana ourselves, we are definitely have the tendency to fall down. And we see that in Bharat Maharaj's example himself. He was doing devotional service, he was on this platform of bhava, but still he fell down from there because he was doing it alone. There were no devotees around him to chastise him that you are getting attached to the gear, take care, you know, you have to get detached. If there were devotees around, they were chastising when they saw Bharat Maharaj getting so attached, overly attached to the gear. So he was doing his sadhana alone. In the same way, if we are, when we have this weapon of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are doing it alone, without the association of devotees, it will not sustain over a period of time. However, if we keep ourselves in the association of devotees, they will give us the mantra and they will encourage us to keep chanting in their association. So learn it, because this verse in the Bhagavatam is very important. Like Kapila Dev is speaking this verse. Prasanna Manjaram Vasamatmano Kavyodhu. Sreya Sadhu Sutrika Moksha Dwara Bhagavatam. He said that learned people therefore transfer their attachment to devotees. And that is how they are able to then open the doors of liberation. In fact, there is a nice pastime in Ramanujacharya's pastime in life. I think whose appearance day he celebrated a few days ago. So once, you know, he was sitting and they were discussing about some pastimes of Lord Vishnu or Raghunathan. And that time there was a festival. So the festival, Utsava Murti of, you know, the Lord was being carried in a palanquin with a procession. Like, you know, everyone was singing, dancing, chanting the holy names, and there was a procession. And while, you know, these discussions are happening, obviously, because this procession passed, they had to stop that discussion and they had to, you know, look at the procession, pay obeisance, whatever. So that procession disturbed or distracted them from continuing that discussion of the pastimes. And that time, Kamalajacharya said, he said that, oh, why this procession came? It actually was a hindrance to our discussion of the Lord's pastimes. And some people might take this wrongly that, oh, it was the Lord's procession only. Then why would the Kamalajacharya saying like this? But in fact, even the Lord then says later, he says that I want to be in that discussion with Kamalajacharya is having with all the devotees, where he is, you know, discussing my pastimes and glorifying my pastimes. So the Lord actually is present when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Ramamantra, I say, when we are discussing the Lord's pastimes, he actually comes, likes to come and listen. So same, like, you know, the story of how Jagannath got this form. His, you know, Rohini was discussing or narrating the whole childhood Leela of Krishna and Balaram to all the queens. And the Lord was so eager to hear these pastimes that he stood outside the door listening very secretly. And he went into ecstasy and we got this beautiful form of Jagannath. So the Lord is always eager to be in that associate, in that assembly where his pastimes are being discussed. And that is what Kamalajacharya was establishing through that, you know, pastime which he said that why this procession had to come and disturb the discussion of the Lord's glories. So devotees are aware that not only, you know, become detached from this material world, but also get attached to the real earthly in the spiritual world. You need the association of devotees. And that is what will then take them to the next step of being attached to the spiritual world. And that is what we see over here. The final instruction which Jagannath is giving to Maharaj Jagannath. He is saying, then you will be able to cut the heart out of illusory energy and cross to the other side of the ocean of three signs. So devotees realize that, you know, we have to, in order to cross to this other side of three signs, we need this association of devotees and we need to give up the sense enjoyment tendency that we have. And many people we see have this tendency of sense enjoyment on two levels. One is the gross level and one is the subtle level. So the gross level, people are trying to enjoy their senses, and the greatest enjoyment that they derive or the pinnacle for them is sex desire or sex enjoyment. So that is gross bodily identification, where they feel I am the enjoyer. This particular activity is meant for my pleasure. So that is a gross manifestation of this, you know, bodily platform which they are on to enjoy. And some who are beyond that, they have this subtle enjoying tendency of the soul, which is puja and pratishtha. Puja, pratishtha, adoration. In fact, Bhakti Rokhalu says that the last thing or the most difficult thing for a person to give up, for a soul to give up when he wants to escape this material world is pratishtha, or the desire for adoration. The desire that everybody pays, you know, obeisances to my lotus feet rather than Krishna's lotus feet. So that is, you know, these two desires or these two gross and subtle manifestations of the soul's desire to be the enjoyer, it keeps them in this material world. And you know, it keeps us in the sick condition of life. So, for example, when we are very sick, I remember once I had a flu, very severe flu 2-3 years ago or something like that, and your whole taste goes away. You don't feel like eating, but you know, the taste of the tongue is completely gone. And at that time, if you sit near someone and you see they are eating food nicely, you actually wonder how they are enjoying. You feel like vomiting when you see the food because you are in a sick condition of mind. Because of all these enjoyment tendencies that we are in the sick condition. And we can only come out of the sick condition, like we said, by the association of devotees. Through the association of devotees, slowly this gross enjoyment tendency and the subtle enjoyment tendency will go away. And and we will be able to cross to the other side, to the, across the ocean of new science. It becomes like a blueprint of a path, like it said in the Nectar of Devotion, by taking up devotional service. So these are some of the instructions that Charabhara is giving to Maharaj Ravana in this particular verse, and the main theme is about cutting off this illusory tree of attachment by using the sharpened knowledge, sharpened sword of knowledge, like studying the Shastras and also situating ourselves in devotional service in the association of devotees. So we end the class here. Any comments, corrections, questions?
Impossible, he spoke about. We are not able to cut off this banyan tree,
So they have knowledge. They have the knowledge that they have to be detached. They have the knowledge that this material world is an illusion. It's not a permanent place to reside in. So definitely they have that knowledge. And that knowledge they have acquired from obviously different Vedas and scriptures that they study. However, the knowledge that we are referring to, Bharatbhara is referring to, which Prabhupada elaborates on, is Bhakti Shastras, the knowledge of the Bhakti Shastras. And therefore, you know, we, that is what, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to study, and Prabhupada was facilitating this study of the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all that. Because when we are sharpening our intelligence by studying knowledge of Bhakti Shastras or knowledge of devotional service, then not only we get detached from this world, which obviously transcendentalists and impersonalists are able to do. In fact, sometimes if you listen to some of their lectures, like, you know, if you listen to some yogis, or, you know, you listen to Sadhguru, for example, they are, you know, concept of detachment is much stronger and higher than for devotees. Or, you know, I generally feel I'm struggling so much still, you know, in this material world, but they are generally, their sadhana and their detachment is so strong. However, the problem is they are lacking that aspect of devotional service, the knowledge of devotional service. So that is extremely important, which, you know, then separates us, or that is a distinction between impersonalists and devotees. That we might be still, we might be struggling more than them in terms of our attachment to this material world. But we are situated on the right path because we have the knowledge, you know, that not through the knowledge of devotional service we are. We know the goal is to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna, not just to become strong in our austerities or detachment from this one. So that is what is the knowledge we prefer. Okay, if there's no further questions, we end the class here. Dhanthaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.